that people, a lot of people just worshiped him. They didn't worship him, but that was right next to it, because he would take care, and a lot of people would meet up down there, and people would go in there, and he would treat them. Just, if I didn't have a penny, he would take care of my wound, or he would do what I went for, just the same as if I had $500 in my purse. He never turned down a friend. He turned down anybody. And if somebody was there real sick and the office was already crowded, standing, he would, if somebody come around there real bad sick, he would let you wait 2 or 3 hours till he saw ones that was in the worst shape. And Paul was down there one day, and he called Paul first, and it just embarrassed Paul to death. And he said, "My goodness," he said, "Doctor, it's a heap of folks out there." That Paul was first, but he said, "It's a heap of people down there, sicker than me." He said, "Paul," he said, "I said, come in here." And Paul began to get up right then. And he went down there for his final checkup when he had that little cancer on his colon. And Paul was so excited, he left his billfold on Dr. Carter's desk. And he locked his billfold up for me. He didn't let me get that close to his billfold. But they called him, and he went back and got it. And one day, Polly had her tonsils out after she had her tonsils taken out. He went down there and kept trying to pay him. He said, "Paul, you say you want to pay me." He said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." He says, "Well, I'm going to tell you how you can pay me. And if you ever mention paying me anymore," he says, "you want another doctor," which he knew Paul wasn't going to do. And he said, "I want you to take your wife and your little girl on a vacation." He said, "Y'all haven't had one since I've been a doctor in here." And so Paul did take us to I went to Winter Haven, and he carried us to Florida, and we stayed. Paul had an uncle lived down there. We went down and stayed 2 or 3 days. But that's the only vacation I ever had, and I've been here a long time. But I'm just as rich as if I'd had a lot of vacations. And Alan, I don't brag about it, but I'm not ashamed of it. I feel like I know on this street I got as many good friends as anybody in Lincoln. I don't care who they are. And I feel like other streets, I love everybody in Lincoln Baptist Church, and I love the people I know in the Methodist Church, June Hudson. I just love her to death. I don't know Rosie Adams. Now, she's Presbyterian, but she comes to our church. But I feel like Lincoln, Dr. Carvin told Paul one day, he said, "Paul," he said, "have you ever thought about how good the weather is in Lincoln?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "What do you think? We don't have too hot a weather, and we don't have too cold a weather." He said, "Lincoln is in a little, kind of like in a soup bowl." And he said, "But Anniston usually has worse weather than we do. You know that. Look at Pell City. And Pell City has that tornado just tore it up.
Pell City just hit by tornadoes too often."
Right. But he said, "That's why I stayed in Lincoln, on account of the weather." He said, "The weather is not too cold and it's not too hot." He said, "You got to have weather enough to kill beetles and bugs." And he said, "We don't have no bad weather." And that snowstorm, we had one snow when Polly was about 2 years old or 3. But we didn't have nothing like that snowstorm we had, you know.
Yeah.
So it was about that deep out there in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But Lincoln has been blessed And the tornadoes, they just started happening. This would come up Third Avenue. That's getting real close to me. That's getting real close to us. And Patton's Chapel, too, they've had two. And it tore up trees that you would not believe. And I have a friend that lives up there by that. It's a Baptist church close to Evelyn Camp, Harvey Camp. And all these pine trees around them, great big ones, oaks, and it didn't blow down a one. But Doctor always said, and I never thought about it, because he told Paul, he said, that's mine. He said, he could have lived anywhere in the world he wanted to. But at first, he did not have the money. But his sister, Patty, who lived in Louisiana, her husband, something to do with oil wells. And now, they go down there once a year. Now, I count that money. And, of course, this doctor's gone. Evelyn don't. She can't drive anymore. They took her driver's license away from her on the counter. She was having seizures. They didn't call it stroke. Now, if she'd had a stroke in her brain, she couldn't talk, she couldn't think. But it has slowed her down. I noticed in Sunday school, she don't say nothing. And she'll come down, she said, I had my envelope, what did I do with it? And she'll begin to look, and she'll begin to look. And she said, well, I guess I left it at home, and half the time they'll be sticking out of the bottle. You know? And it's cold always. She said, Miss Corbin, I see it. But that seizure she had, that last one, doctor took her on to him. And I don't know, I can't understand a seizure, but she can think and she can talk as good as she ever did.
She don't get out as much as she used to.
No, or she can't drive. She can't drive no more.
She don't walk as often as she does.
No, and she can't go walk too far. She's weak. Because now, if she would have used her stick when she first had this seizure, that would have helped his father. But she was very, very, very independent. And she's still that way. And she just resents them taking her license away from her.
She's pretty old, too.
She's 88 or 89. She told us one Sunday. Of course, anybody that wants to know how old she is, she's got when she's born.
Yeah, she's got a tombstone up in the cemetery.
She's got that when she's born. Evelyn was born leap year. She just has a birthday. Claim you just have a birthday every other year. How they call that. But she gets a day older just like you and I do. But Evelyn is talented, and they have. I wish you'd go down there sometime when the church is open and see those stained glass windows. Alan, they are the most beautiful.
The new ones?
Huh?
The new ones?
They are, they have on that side, I just can't remember it, has Dr. Gus Carvin's name on it. And every pole is 1, 2, 3. It's 3 or 4. I think it's just 3 on each side. I believe it's just 3. And the first one, I believe it's 4. The first one is Dr. Gus Wilson Carvin. And the next one is Evelyn Carvin. And remember, she has played the piano for all the many years that they've been living. And, you know, she used to board up here at Miss Petrotter's house. She taught school at Easter Boulder. And he met Evelyn, and they married, I don't know what year. But she has played the piano for a long, long time. And then he bought an organ. And he thought it was going to be one of them that had the big pipes, going all up. And when he had a chance to go over at it, it wasn't what he thought it was. He come to the house and Evelyn said he just had a tall fit. He said, I thought y'all like a pipe organ. She said, Gus,
that shirt is not suited for pipe. Oh, it's, you know, she talked starting along.
But he wanted to have the best. And when Talmage Watley was pastor down there for years and years and years, they were sitting out on the steps one day. And the doctor says, I want to tell you something. And he said, yes, sir, what's that? He said, this church means a lot to me. He said, my family, all of my family is in this church. Gus loved his family. He never had the time to spend with them and to be with them like most fathers. But, and they took one vacation together. And when little Gus was just a little boy, and he said every service station they went by, they had to have a drink and restroom. And so Gus got tired of that. He said, now don't y'all buy any more drinks because I'm not going to stop. And so he went and went and went. And the girl said, Daddy, if you don't stop at the next service station, you're going to be sorry. And Gus could tell he was about to cry. And Gus pulled in the next one. He saw. And he said, before he could get the car stopped, little Gus had opened that door and now knew out the woods he was running. And he could tell some of the cutest things about his kids. And they had a dog they all loved. And of course, it was, they let it out. And they found it way over at Florence Watson's, Kendall Watson's house. And the dog said they chewed it up pretty good. And they brought it home, and there's a docking it, and bathing it, and mature combing it, and cleaning them up, and the doctor come in. What he could say was, he never laughed a whole lot. I never heard him laugh, ha, 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 in my life. But the smile, he stood there, and he looked down, little Gus and Jane and Patty, and they was all loving that dog, and doctoring him and petting him. And he says, well, all the collars have gone to the dogs, hadn't they? He could always, and every, after Paul had to retire with blood clot, he owned, you know, nearby a heap of land out there on the river. A lot of timber land. And he had his hunting dogs out there. That's what he did. He was a very, very staunch. He loved to hear his dog bark. Miss Carver said when he died, she bet he had around 300 tapes of just those dogs barking. And you play one of them, he could tell you that's Blue, or that's Ned, or that's Sally, or that's Jane. He could name every one of those dogs by that bark. And one night, I went. I had heard fox hunt. I said, Paul, I'm going if I have to ask Dr. Gus. He said, you better not bother the doctor. I said, it won't bother the doctor. I said, Gus don't have anybody from right here close that enjoys fox hunting. Now, he had a lot of people, older men that he knew around East of Boga, or Patton Chapel, that went with him. They'd lead him out there. He had three big old hills. I mean, high places. He had a house built up here and then way down here. I had what he called Boga Hollow. He had a nice building there, and he planted fruit trees. I mean, from the nursery. It wasn't Walmart fruit trees. And they had figs, they had pears, they had apples, they had, he had two of the biggest fig trees I ever saw. Pecans, pears, and...